B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Put it up.
Bob Cooney. Jamie Lynch. And Sam Wilson. Now, start your day with Farzetta and Trey on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope some people get to enjoy this fine holiday today, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Happy MLK Day to everyone out there. Bob Cooney, good morning. Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson. Our man Trey, not here today. Park dedication happened in his hometown of DeLay, Florida. How about that?
Yeah, must be nice, you know. The park you grew up in, you hung out at as a kid, they name it after you.
That's got to be an awesome thing.
Yeah, it's not, it doesn't suck.
The other part of this is that the Eagles, it's a very eagled up park. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, how about that?
And so they have his number 72. He tweeted out a picture of it over the weekend, and it looks fantastic. It really does. I couldn't be happier for our guy to have a park named after him in his hometown. That is just nothing short of amazing. Now, do you think he'll refer to it as Trey Thomas Park, or will he just refer to it like we refer to Delaware Avenue as Delaware Avenue, even though most of it's Columbus Boulevard?
He'll probably just call it My Park.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's exactly what I was going to say, My Park.
Come
yeah.
use the swings yeah. at My Park.
Yeah.
So we couldn't be happier for him. That's pretty awesome. He'll be back with us tomorrow. He did fly down. He's normally a driver. He's yeah. normally a guy that's a driver. Now, Trey, I know we'll have his own take on this tomorrow, and we'll certainly pick his brain on it, but we kind of know where he stands on this. He loves Andy Reid.
Yeah.
Just about anybody that ever played for Andy Reid loves Andy Reid. That is what annoyed us to the nth degree while Andy Reid was here coaching, was that he never dimed out a player. The only guy he ever said anything bad about in the press conference, really, was even when he said the thing about David Akers. And we could all count. It was like the only time when David Akers missed all those field goals, and I believe it was the divisional round of the wild card game of the playoffs. That was the only time we really heard Andy Reid throw anybody under the proverbial bus during a press conference. But I can't help but go through this progression every time I think of Andy Reid as a former Eagles head coach. And that is, oh, wow, you know, he did a lot of great things here. But damn it, he never won. That's how my progression of thought goes. And yesterday, watching him go into the Super Bowl has me feeling very good for him.
Yeah, I'm a little above that.
See,
not above. I'm a little more than that, I should say. Not above.
I can't go above. There's no excitement. There's no euphoria. I wouldn't even say there's like happiness. There's just, oh, good for him. Like a matter-of-fact type of thing. And the number one reason for that, well, the two reasons for that are that he never made us feel like we were along for the ride as a fan base. And then the other part of that is that he just never won. For a myriad of reasons, he never won here in Philadelphia. People automatically go to, he didn't run the ball enough. He waited 5 years to get a number one wide receiver. Couldn't manage the clock. We all know what happened in the last 5 minutes of the Super Bowl. 1-4 in conference championship games. Coddled the players, as I alluded to earlier, while he was here as a head coach. And then really never answered questions in the media. And when he would, a lot of times, very begrudgingly. And it was in a way that never really wanted to deliver the message to the fans. Yet, on top of all that, winning his coach in Eagles history, winning his playoff coach in Eagles history, Super Bowl appearance, conference championship games that he was coaching in, and really when you even think about it, he coached in more games than double the amount of the next guy. Greasy Neal, who was here for longer than a cup of coffee.
You love Greasy Neal.
I still have his fedora. I don't know what he wore back in the day. I didn't see him. But all that stuff goes into how you feel about Andy Reid today. I'm telling you, I don't look at Andy Reid with any anger. I don't look at it as any remorsefulness or regret or anything. I look at it as good for Andy, and I really don't go above that level when it comes to him. In our Twitter poll today, I am curious to see how people feel about Andy Reid today going back to a Super Bowl. I want to know if anyone is, yay, this is great, next best thing to the Eagles making the Super Bowl. Or if it's just, good for him. If it's, whatever kind of feeling. I want to know how people are feeling about Andy Reid going back. Because he is the wittiest coach in Eagles history. Playoff wins, all that stuff. And you look at it and you go, yeah, but he was kind of a jerk while he was here.
I'm a hard... Really? I had never got that feeling. Sorry, James.
See, because you were in the media by then.
No, yeah, but I didn't get the feeling he was a jerk. But go ahead.
I think a lot of fans feel like that.
No, I'm just in the, meh, yeah, good for Andy.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. All right, I'm a little higher than him. I'm like, yeah, good for him.
You're two goods.
No, you know what's funny? Like you brought it up, Mark, that the players, his former players all love him, but it's all over the league, too. Like, you saw Jim Nantz giving him the trophy yesterday, and, like, you know, if he could have just hugged him and not said a word, that's what Jim Nantz would have done, and he's basically saying, the whole NFL respects you, everybody likes you, and all that. Fine, that's all good, and it shows that Andy Reid's, you know, probably a pretty good person and stuff like that. I never got the feeling that I didn't like him because of his press comments. It didn't have to do anything to do with, you know, me being a media member or anything like that. I don't know where this organization is without Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
I had this argument with my friends in the neighborhood all during his tenure, especially later on in his tenure. You know, got to get rid of him, can't win with him. Careful what you wish for. Like, you know, this guy got you to the brink. He didn't get the ultimate thing, and sure, that's what you want, no doubt about it. But my God, give me a guy that's going to get you there every year. I'm pretty good with that.
Yeah, I wasn't.
Look, everybody's goal is to win it all.
Right.
I know that. But, man, to be in contention for 10, 11, 12 years during his tenure, that's a pretty damn good run.
And I'm not ignoring it. I remember games. I remember it being discussed about games being blacked out in Philadelphia and then it actually happening. I didn't remember which games they were. But Mike Mulhern, who's a producer at NBC Sports Philadelphia, tweeted it out yesterday. And it makes a heck of a lot of sense. The for who, for what game was blacked out.
Wow. Was it
really?
The 1998 and 1999 season openers blacked out.
Wow.
Because they didn't sell enough tickets. Now, 99 was obviously Reed's first year here.
So, well, Doug Peterson was your starting quarterback.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah.
But you think about it like that, and you think about the about face that has happened with the Eagles. Like, the Eagles, for me, like, when I tell people the Eagles weren't my, number one team or the four for fours, like, that's because I grew up in an era where they weren't, like, dominant.
Oh.
There's gangrene defense, and I was young for that. And then there's Rich Kotite, cool. Then there was Ray Rhodes.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, had two 10-6 seasons to start off, made the playoffs, was a coach of the year, if I'm not mistaken, and had a nice little brief 4-year stint here in Philadelphia. And then Andy Reid came in, and they did an about face.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob, as you have said before, careful of what you can get used to. You'll be surprised as to what you can get used to. And we got used to those conference championships. We got used to those divisional titles. We got used to those playoff appearances. But we never got used to managing the clock, not running the football, and waiting for a number one wide receiver. All those things, for the most part, throughout his time here in Philly, all those things kind of were we always talk about worm burners with Donovan McNabb and all that stuff he never got better at. Stuff with Andy Reid, you felt like he never got better at. There was changes in his offense, stretching the field, going away from a more traditional West Coast offense to stretching the field and all that stuff. So I just want to know how people feel today with their former head coach going back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's interesting. And you know, yesterday I'm watching that game and Patrick Mahomes is doing what he does. And you're just like, I don't know if it came in other people's mind, but it came into mine. What if Andy Reid had Carson Wentz? You know, like, what would Carson Wentz be like with an Andy Reid? And I'm not saying that he's, you know, bad under Doug Peterson or anything like that, but you just wonder, because he really does know how to develop quarterbacks. He saw the talent in that guy. He took him in a spot that nobody thought he was going to, and then the way he built him, it's, you know, Andy Reid was winning with Alex Smith in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
I just think the guy's a great, great coach. And look, his time here ran out, no question about it. His time here ran out. But man, for people not to appreciate what he did, I don't know. That just seems kind of ridiculous.
I wrote an article. Like, I've written four articles in my life, probably, Bob, because I'm just a terrible writer. I wrote an article once about people respecting Andy Reid but not loving him. Like, I think people acknowledge all that he did for the franchise, all the success that he had while he was here, but I think most people look back on it and they won't be that love that came with a Dick Vermeil. There won't be that love that came with Buddy Ryan. And he did 10 times the amount of stuff those guys did while they were here. Like, that's what's so incredible about it. is that he was so successful here, and prior to Doug Peterson, the most successful coach over the longest period of time here in Philly. But because of press conferences, and this is what really made me learn that people really do pay attention to the press conference.
Let's go have a ham sandwich.
And because of the stuff on the field with not running the football and all that other stuff, and it just with clock management, all that stuff will permeate. All that stuff will stay in people's minds and just resonate there and stew and stew. And that's why I actually think there's a decent amount of people that are actually bordering on angry that Andy Reid has another chance to win a Super Bowl.
Well, it's crazy. You bring up Buddy Ryan, and those are such polar opposites.
Absolutely.
To me. And I can't understand it. Everybody loved Buddy Ryan. What the hell did Buddy Ryan do here? He didn't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
He had talked a great game, so everybody could jump on board because he would say, oh, that number 97 over there, he sucks. He didn't even know his players' names. That was all fun and great and all. But seriously, you're going to like Buddy Ryan as a head coach better than an Andy Reid? And people will die on that hill.
Oh, yeah.
It's baffling to me. I mean, the argument that Buddy Ryan did more for this city as far as football goes than Andy Reid... No. Andy Reid probably more for football in this town maybe than Dick Vermeil.
Yeah, you think about the turnaround.
And Dick Vermeil came in at a horrible time because that was my, like your youth was what you said. Mm-hmm. My youth was, oh my God, this Eagles team sucks until Dick Vermeil got, and I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he turned that part around. Andy Reid did it. That and then maybe twofold and did it for a lot longer than Vermeil.
Yeah, the other thing with Vermeil is that he kind of burned out. I mean, that's what I remember.
He definitely burned out.
That's what I remember going back to, because that was before my time, going back to read all that stuff and watch the specials on him and then talk to other people that covered him at the time and all that. He just seemed like a guy that was just done. When he was done, he was done. And it was, some people were surprised that he actually came back and actually went to the Rams and then had success. And look, Andy Reid is now in that similar situation to Dick Vermeil, where he coached the Eagles here. He made it to the Super Bowl. He lost. He had success here. And then he ended up going to another organization. Now, I always thought that Andy Reid would win a Super Bowl once he left Philadelphia. Like, I felt like he would go to a position where he would be admired by another ownership, another group of owners and all that, by another team, and he'd have success. I didn't know he'd get as many years as he has gotten so far in Kansas City, but he's gotten it. And it turns out, yeah, he's having success again. He's had success over the years of him being there. But I thought when he left here, it's kind of like when you get your first job. Like, you get into a kind of rhythm, the way of doing things, and maybe that wasn't the best way to start out. But after you hit the reset button in a new organization, you learn from your own mistakes. Like, he actually, I don't believe that he did it with Doug Peterson. I think he's doing it with Bieniemy, letting him call plays. I mean, the videos are all out there. People can see it for themselves.
Right.
But I do think he has learned from his mistakes. He's let other people take on front office responsibilities more so than he did here in Philadelphia. He has certainly learned from his mistakes when he committed more to the run down there in Kansas City before he got this great quarterback. He had another scrambling quarterback, as you mentioned, in Alex Smith prior to Patrick Mahomes being there. A lot of things, I think, has changed in Andy Reid since his time here in Philadelphia. And I thought he was a borderline great coach while he was here. He has solidified himself as a Hall of Famer while he's been out in Kansas City. It's weird to say this. I don't even know if I'm rooting for him to win the Super Bowl. I have like no rooting interest in the 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. All right. That's a good way of putting it. I have no rooting interest in the game. I'm with you. But if I do lean one way, yeah, it's towards Andy Reid. Yeah, I understand that you don't, but I do. I mean, I would like to see him win a Super Bowl.
I'm Rob Lowe on this Super Bowl.
The NFL hat?
That's what I am. I'm like, you know what? I hope it's a good game. Like, that's how I am right now looking at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, what was that?
I don't know.
He was there to promote his TV show, which was airing. They had a countdown clock in the post-game show to 9-1, Reno 911, whatever he's doing.
Oh, Texas Ranger Walker 911, yep. something like that.
Yeah. 911 All-Stars. I don't know what it was. But they had a countdown clock on Fox post-game show while Jay Glazer was doing his post-game hit. And it was just up there in the corner. Weird. It was like, wow, all right, they're really sold on this. Good for them.
It's become a good meme.
Oh, did Rob Lowe?
Yeah.
I haven't seen any memes yet. I saw
one where the person next to him was like, how about this game, huh? 49ers and Packers. Who do you like to win? He's like, yes.
I'm rooting for the officials. This is why I'm wearing an official hat. But no, he is. Now, here's where I will champion Rob Lowe. You watched a couple of things that were really weird yesterday. Now, first of all, let me just say this. Football in itself was amazing. Patrick Mahomes, absolutely incredible. To actually talk some football, not just who we like and who we don't like. But Patrick Mahomes is incredible. He's really good at football. Mostert, did what he pretty much did all season and had an incredible game yesterday. And then you look over to the odd things.
Did you hear my odd fact about the three guys in NFL history that have four rushing touchdowns in a playoff game?
No, what was it?
They all have ties to the Eagles. It's Ricky Waters, Raheem Mostert, and LeGarrette Blount.
Oh, wow.
Kind of just odd, isn't it?
That is very odd.
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Yeah, just an odd one.
My brain's melted.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
So, you just ninja'd my brain. Oh, the weird things from yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
So Rob Lowe was definitely one of them in the NFL hat. But here's why I champion the cause of Rob Lowe of all the weird things that happened. The other thing we saw was Jason Kelce wearing a Chiefs jersey.
Yeah.
It was his brother's jersey.
Yeah, it's totally
and
cool.
And I was like, all right, I don't like what I'm looking at.
Travis did it for Jason. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I don't like what I'm looking at, but I get it. Don't go there.
Don't be a crumb.
Don't be a crumb. Don't be angry. And Kelce, to his credit, I don't know whose account it was on originally. I saw the check down, grabbed it on social media. And it was, this is Jason Kelce of the Eagles rooting for my brother, Jason, Travis Kelce, in number 87 and all that. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. You've nullified any feeling of angst over this game. So thank you very much there, Jason Kelce. And then the other thing was, they go to sing the national anthem at the 49ers game.
Oh.
And Boys to Men sings the national anthem.
That was weird.
And they're doing so, Philly born and bred, we love them, they do that wearing San Francisco 49er jerseys.
Mm.
That was an odd thing to see.
Yeah.
And at the end of the performance, one of them yells, "Go Niners!"
Oh, did they?
No. Oh, yeah.
I was like, I can't look at this.
Turn this off.
Pretty much. I was like, what else is on real quick? Yeah. I didn't even see the Go Niners.
Total violation.
That is terrible. I cannot champion that cause. Jason Kelce wants to support his brother. Good for you. You do your thing.
And the guy that sang the national anthem in that game was Naval Officer Gerald something or other. And he sang in Philly a ton.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
Yeah, he's got pipes.
Yeah, does the snap of the salute and all that. Yeah. It's great. It was awesome. But those things were odd. And then they show Rob Lowe. But here's where I love Rob Lowe. He's a lifelong Indianapolis Colts fan. He's friends with Jim Irsay. Like, they're buddies. Remember Rob Lowe had that story about Peyton Manning retiring and he tweeted it out?
Yeah.
Do you remember that story from like 5 or 6 years ago? Yeah, guess what? That came from Rob Lowe, who apparently got it from Jim Irsay. So then they ended up trading him. But Rob Lowe wears the NFL hat because he doesn't want to choose a side. You know why? Because he's not a fraud. He is, absolutely, a Colts fan, does not want to wear anything that has to do with the San Francisco 49ers, doesn't want to wear anything that has to do with the Green Bay Packers. And all the credit in the world to Rob Lowe, as a Boys to Men should have done yesterday. Wild to watch that. Those are just some of the oddities that took place yesterday. There was another oddity that I know we'll get into that happened over the weekend, and it was Friday night. And I know the Sixers won, and this is a great example of them winning. Me being happy they won, but me not being happy that they didn't win by enough. Like that's the kind of weekend it was for the Sixers.
On Friday or Saturday?
Both days.
Oh, okay.
Friday night, first quarter, 3:02 left, six men on the floor.
Yeah.
That was something.
Good luck. I've seen that before from the Sixers.
You've seen six men on the floor?
Eddie Jordan was the coach, yeah. I was covering the team then. He put six men out on the floor, and that was when I kind of said, yeah, this guy doesn't belong here.
The coach?
Yeah.
The most, I don't know, forgotten terrible coach in the history of Philadelphia, maybe?
One of them, yes.
Yeah. Eddie Jordan, people are like, oh, yeah, that's right, he was.
Eddie Jordan.
Yeah, right before Doug Collins. He had 1 year. My lasting memory, or I'll get that later. But anyway, Eddie Jordan, I don't remember the six men. I just remember a terribly coached year. And he was one and done. And has he? He went to Rutgers for a while, if I'm not mistaken.
Went to Rutgers. They found out he said stuff that he did at Rutgers that he didn't do, like graduated.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so he puts a resume out to the school that he attended saying that he graduated, thinking they weren't going to find out he didn't. Yeah, I remember the best thing about, not to get on Eddie Jordan, best thing about Eddie Jordan, Pete Carrill, who taught him the Princeton offense, you know, longtime coach at Princeton and then went out to Sacramento. So we're out in Sacramento, and I go to Pete Carrill. I said, yeah, Eddie Jordan told me, you know, how much you've been involved in his life. Oh, come on in. Sit down. Close the door. I haven't talked to Eddie Jordan in, like, 2 years. after Eddie Jordan was telling me how much he hits up Pete Krillick every night for advice. It's pretty funny. But, yeah, Eddie Jordan struggled a little bit.
So this leads to our main topic of the night. Who do you appreciate more, Eddie Jordan or Andy Reid? 6-1-0. But no, so six men on the floor Friday night against the Bulls. Sixers win the game. They were able to take control of Furkan Korkmaz going off.
Furky Jerky from the Turkey went off.
Well, there's a new Furky Jerky Turkey reference or nickname.
Oh, yeah?
I believe it's the Furky Floater. Brian Seltzer, who was in Friday night doing the game for Tom McGinnis, yeah. I thought Brian did a great job.
Oh, he did.
He coined a phrase.
But did he drop any of these?
LeVert with the ball. This guy has got a boater, Caris LeVert.
Because if not, I don't want to hear it, B-Saltz.
I actually got a text from somebody that works for the Sixers on Friday night.
Oh,
saying,
yeah?
Yo, dude, can you send over the Tom McGinnis? So I texted Jamie. I'm like, I don't have it. I said, Jamie, can we get it? He goes, not right now. But I told him, I said, we'll get it to you.
You tell Brett that we'll get that cut to him as soon as humanly possible. Right. So you have a weird game on Friday night. Sixers win. They win in New York against the Knicks as well. You had a great three-pointer to really clinch the game from Tobias Harris. That was all nice. But six men on the floor. For anybody that is waiting to dance on the coaching grave of Brett Brown in Philadelphia, that had to be a fine moment for them. How did that happen, Bob? Because it looked from the start, and I'm not even talking about counting, it just looked like there was confusion. Yeah. First off, you see the Bulls come up in transition, and you see three guys getting ready to check into the game. And then they look confused. And then they come on, and Tobias Harris was supposed to go off in that situation. Brett said after the game there was supposed to be some kind of, or they were using a different rotation or something. How did this happen?
I guess part of it is the different rotation. Two guys probably told one guy, I'm in for you. You know, it's like me and Jamie going onto the court, and Jamie looks at you and says, Mark, you're out. And then I look at you as you're walking, I say, Mark, you're out. Two guys must have thought they were in for the same guy, I assume.
Uh-huh.
You know, if I'm a player on the floor, I don't count how many guys are out there. I just assume that, you know who you're in for, you know who you're out for. I guess when Brett sent him in, he thought everything was okay. Yeah, it doesn't usually happen.
Yeah, no, it's negative. And I'll say this, just on the TV broadcast of it, you had Alav Dinabi and you had Mark Zumoff say, like, you basically, yep, no, you can only play with five, and they made it kind of light of the situation. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, yeah, Sixers need to win this game. Otherwise, this is going to get brought up with rage in people's voice, venom in people's voices on Monday morning. And sure enough, we'll talk about it. We'll get into it. There does seem to be a switch. And as the season has gone on, I have watched Ben Simmons more and more display that switch. And when Ben Simmons gets three quarters of the way up the court and he's got all that great vision that we always talk about, that's when he is really making the decision of whether or not he is going to go to the basket or not.
Right.
It's a quarter of the way up the court when they're bringing the ball up after a made basket or for whatever reason. He has that great court vision where you can see if he's going to have a lane to the basket or not from about a quarter of the way up. And then he takes about three dribbles and he's at the basket, it seems like. That's the aggression, and we certainly saw it Friday night, maybe not as much as we did yesterday, or Saturday rather, but you watch him play the game with that kind of speed and that kind of decision making, and you watch it and how aggressive he can be and how strong he can be, and when he can finish around the rim, how aggressive that is. That, I think, is the best version of Ben Simmons that he can get to without taking the step that we've been talking about for the longest time now, which is the outside game. But really, that's when he starts to flourish. And when you see him be able to drive like that and the defense collapse on him and he can kick it out when he doesn't go to the rim and finish, right. You see a guy like Tobias Harris knock down a three like he did to end that, or that he did to really clinch the game for the Sixers. You see a guy like Furkan Korkmaz get open on the outside as well. And that's where you start thinking about these guys growing. And after the game Friday night, Brett Brown got into that conversation of that water being poured on the bomber he's trying to grow in Furkan Korkmaz. And I think everybody to a man understands that if you're watching the Sixers every night, they need that outside shooting above anything else. They need it more so than Ben even developing an outside game, because he's not going to snap his fingers and all of a sudden it's going to be there.
Sure.
But what might happen is the thing that they've been working on all season long, And that is having guys like Tobias Harris and having a guy like Furkan Korkmaz and also having a guy like Matisse Thybulle consistently hit that outside shot. If they can get those three guys hitting shots with more consistency, that'll make the offense better by the nth degree. Like it'll take them to the max if those guys develop a consistent game. Now, it might sound obvious talking about, oh, well, hit more shots, you're better at basketball. Of course. But with this particular team, with this particular point guard, you need those outside shooters stepping up.
Oh, yeah. He leads the NBA in assisted three-pointers made. Ben Simmons does. So, yeah, that tells you, oh, we should surround this guy with a lot of shooters because defenses are going to collapse on him and he's going to kick if he's not scoring. So, yeah, they need another shooter.
All right. Coming up in a minute, I want to release our let's do that right now, Sam, while we have you right there. Let's get our official Twitter poll out there. What are we asking the good people of Philadelphia today, Sam?
Today we have which best describes your emotions with Andy Reid making it back to the Super Bowl. We have four options. Yeah, this is great. Meh, good for Andy. Don't care or angry. We have just under 300 votes so far. It's close. 42% say meh, good for Andy. But at second, at 40%, we have, yeah, this is great.
Wow. That is, okay, all right, I'll take that. Good for them. Thank you, Sam. We'll continue to get people updated throughout the show today. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up in a second, we'll let you hear from Jason Kelce supporting his brother, and we'll also get into one thing that happened over the weekend. It's got nothing to do with six men on the court, but it's something Brett has done a couple of times this season that has kind of rubbed me the wrong way. Time of the Fanatic, 623.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear the man, Jason Kelce, rooting on his brother after the game, was on the field at Arrowhead Stadium cheering on his brother.
There's not actually people that are going to be upset by this.
No, there's going to be.
Oh, jeez. There was yesterday on Twitter. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Is there really?
Yeah.
It's not a violation.
Brother!
Yeah.
For a second there, I thought somebody was right, because I think Mike and Del Ran tweeted out a photo and tagged us in it. And I was looking at it, and I was like, okay, that's Boys to Men. Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like this one bit.
I was way more offended by Boys to Men.
Yeah, and then I saw in the comments, but hold on, it's his brother. And I was like, wait, does Boys to Men have another? They have a brother that's like on the 49ers? What's going on here? And yeah, that's not the case. They were talking about Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce. We'll let you hear that in a second. We were just having this conversation at the break, though, and I do want to get into this a little bit here. Because the movie 1917... Jamie, you said you saw more buzz about it on social media.
Yeah, I saw a couple of people calling it the best movie they've ever seen.
So I heard this from my buddy, betting expert Brad Feinberg. He told me that Cousin Sal fella said it was, he walked away from the theater. Now, these are not my words. These apparently are Cousin Sal's words, that it was the greatest movie he had ever seen. And he was in he left the theater in shock. That he had just witnessed the greatest movie he'd ever seen. Hmm. Now, I'm not taking that standpoint because I don't want to ruin it for people to build it up that much, but that's what that guy said. Now, other people have taken a similar stance. Jamie, you saw this?
Yeah, I've seen a couple takes saying it's the best movie they've ever seen.
Here's where I'll differentiate all that. Like, when I think of the greatest movie ever, for me, I think of Godfather. Like, I think of...
One or two.
It's all the same movie to me. Like, I know that's a terrible take on it.
Yeah,
but
it is a terrible take.
That's just how I...
Pick one.
No, I can't.
You do it.
Okay, well, who do you love more, your wife or your kid?
It's an Italian thing.
It's not even an Italian thing. It's not even an Italian thing.
You can't eat somebody else's meatball. You can't choose between Godfather 1 or 2. Whatever.
Two. But anyway, so...
there you go.
So, because I like history and it goes back to... Anyway. Yeah. So, I could watch those movies over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Shawshank Redemption. To go non-Italian. I watch
it. It's the ultimate click and stick. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't help. Like, it's on. It's like, oh, this is what I'll watch.
Yeah,
now.
I guess I'm watching Shawshank now.
Okay. Babe, don't bother me. 2 hours. So that's the type of movie you can watch over and over. I don't know if I can, like, having seen 1917 and loving it, I don't know if it's the type of movie I can watch over and over and over again.
Interesting.
So is that the criteria for an incredible...
Not necessarily.
Right? Because, like, you can watch it once and be like, wow, it's the greatest movie I've ever seen.
If you're wowed by the theater experience and it's something you don't necessarily want to see over and over again, it can still be a great movie.
But no. The GOAT. Can it be the GOAT?
I mean, it's all everybody's individual opinions, right?
No, there's a right and wrong. Like, in all seriousness, like, when I saw it, I was...
Is there universal agreement on the greatest movie of all time? Because I don't really think there is.
Well, there's, you know, Godfather 2, and then there's Everyone Else is Wrong. No, but like
if you say Citizen Kane, get out of here.
Oh, stop. All right.
That movie sucked.
I saw that in the theaters.
There is no universal agreement.
Remember,
I was breaking the drought this weekend. You didn't even ask me.
Robert!
Jeez. I know, I asked him.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry.
Anticlimactic, we didn't go.
Who the hell? You just teased nothing.
Yeah, I did. I meant to see it.
Well,
I was just, for anybody that was going to ask, it didn't happen. It was in the plan, but then that ice storm came.
Ice storm.
Well, it's not me. It's when you have a kid out driving. So, when you have a young kid who just kind of got a license and is out driving, you're like, she's out. We can't leave. She needs to come home, this, that, and the other. Kind of ruined the plans.
But you should have all the practice in the world in an ice storm. We have an ice storm at the turn coming off of City Ave every day.
I'm fine driving in it. It's the 17-year-old that I didn't want to drive in it, and therefore I had to stay home and make sure...
She didn't drive.
...that said person did not drive. Oh. Not that she would have driven without my consent.
Oh, of course not.
Had to make sure she got home. She got home at a good time.
Okay.
Messed up the movie time, so went out to dinner instead.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cooney households ruled with an iron fist.
That's right. Get home. So, anyway, 1917 is on my list, Mark.
You'll love it. That's all I'll say.
All right, good.
You'll love it. But, here's the thing from yesterday. I don't think there'll be any... I saw one person kind of flip out about this. I didn't have a problem because Jason Kelce was just there supporting his brother wearing a Chiefs jersey. That's fine. And he even worked in an Eagles shout-out. I believe we have the cut of this here. Jason Kelce just rooting for his brother. This is on Instagram. Rooting for his brother to make it to the Super Bowl.
Hey, what's up, NFL? This is Jason Kelce with the Eagles. And I'm here supporting the Chiefs right now. My brother, 87 right there. Just really happy for him. Happy for my man, Andy Reid.
So that's it. All right? He was wearing his brother's jersey. At first glance, when you see him in a Chiefs jersey, I don't think any Philadelphia fan wants to see a Philadelphia athlete whom they love, especially one to the degree of Jason Kelce, donning any other jersey. But once you get past it and the idea that it's his brother that's wearing the jersey for the Chiefs, and then he's also saying, yeah, shout out to the Eagles. I'm with the Eagles, but supporting my brother. And then also the coach that drafted him, Andy Reid. You kind of go, they're all right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If you have anything against that. Come on, that's what you're about. Family first, right?
Absolutely. Right. Family, you're making sure your family's not driving when they shouldn't be.
That's right.
Jamie's sick because of his kid. I spent a whole weekend with my family.
Stupid kids. Just blow your nose. Shouldn't be that hard.
And if one of them made it to the NFL, I would wear their jersey if it wasn't as long as it wasn't a Cowboys jersey. Because this is where I'm going with it. I was shocked at this, but I talked about this months ago. Sharif Miller... Philly kid, didn't get a lot of playing time with the Eagles this year, a fifth round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
He comes out, and I asked him about it earlier in the season. I said, you know, this worked out great. You got drafted by your hometown team. What if you got drafted by what if this went the complete opposite direction? What if you got drafted by the Cowboys? And he's like, yeah, no one in my family would have bought the jersey. And I'm like, that's beautiful. That's a beautiful thing right there.
Yeah, I call
BS. 610-632-0975.
If Skylar made the Cowboys, I would buy her jersey. I hate to admit it.
Really?
Yeah, of course.
See? They're paying them that money. Yeah, I'm wearing a jersey.
Well, she would buy the jersey for me because she'd be rich and I'd be poor. But yeah, I would wear the jersey.
I would just wear an NFL jersey with my Emmanuel on the back, with little toots on the back. That's how I'd pull Rob Lowe.
LT who? This is the real LT.
Third LT in the NFL. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. All right, so some people might have piping hot takes about Travis Kelce and Jason Kelce and all that stuff for today. People have piping hot takes, as you would assume, about Andy Reid. It's certainly our poll question today. But there is something, Bob, that it rubbed me the wrong way. The first time I heard it, it's rubbed me the wrong way pretty much all season, because I've now heard it on three separate occasions, really, from Brett Brown. And it's a comparison to a guy that's not here anymore. And if that guy's not here anymore, I don't want to hear about it.
Get him out your mouth.
Get him out your brain. Let these guys be them. Simple as that. 610-632-0975. It even rubbed me a worse way than six men on the court, Bob. It rubbed me a worse way than that.
Wow.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. That's what's coming up here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I know I shouldn't be as annoyed by this as I am, but I can't. I'm being honest. I'm being honest with you guys. So Furkan Korkmaz has himself a weekend, dropping threes left and right in the third quarter, especially. Ben Simmons, by the way, is the guy that got that started. Ben Simmons, nice little turnaround jam Friday night against the Bulls. Got the ball rolling in the right direction.
Real aggressive lately.
Extra angry, which is the version of Ben Simmons that I enjoy. I enjoy it a lot. And I can't be certain, but I'm pretty sure he high-fived somebody under the basket against the Knicks. I don't know who's sitting under the basket in New York at the Garden, but after he threw one down and then he went to go high-five somebody sitting on the baseline. Yeah, I don't, whatever, it happened. But Furkan Korkmaz then followed in the third quarter against the Bulls Friday night, just raining threes down upon, a little floater in the lane, a driving dunk. Like, he just looked amazing. The Furkan Korkmaz game. Earlier in the season, Brett Brown came out with the now famous quote, "I have to grow a bomber," talking about Furkan Korkmaz.
That's not bad. You've gotten a lot better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then in the same breath, he talked about making up for no J.J. Redick. All right, the guy's the franchise leader in single season threes and all that. And then Tobias Harris is another guy he likened to J.J. Redick about a month and a half ago, saying that he needs Tobias Harris to be like J.J. Redick. I'm like, I don't see that, but all right, whatever you got to do. And then I hear it again about Furkan Korkmaz on Friday night. The quote was, to see him go out and do JJ-like stuff. I don't like that idea. Like, that guy's gone.
Maybe he'll come back.
I was reading something about that. I forget where it was.
Maybe his lack of defense.
I don't think that's
not what he meant.
He needs a better podcast. That's what he needs to do. Like, J.J. Redick, he needs to have a better podcast.
By the way, did you see J.J.'s comments last week about guys? It kind of went viral.
Yeah, about like soft NBA players?
Yeah, basically guys care about more about their pregame outfits than they do wins and losses.
Uh-huh.
And I believe him. Like, I do.
Uh-huh.
Part of me, and I had this conversation with my buddy Kevin Coyle. He's like, dude, I'm convinced he's talking about Ben. I'm convinced he's talking about Ben. You can't convince me otherwise. And I was just like,
How many years has he been in the NBA?
Yeah.
He's not talking about one player.
Yeah, he's talking about a lot of players.
The common thing is when you talk about big men like Andrew Bynum, they don't necessarily love basketball, but they love what basketball brings them.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that there's a bunch of those guys in the NBA.
Oh, totally.
Like, full of non-competitors.
They have literal fashion people that will pick out their outfits.
By the way, on that note, Tobias Harris dressed like Ben Simmons the other night. Did you see that?
With the chains and
stuff?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kudos to him. That was pretty good. Funny. But just tell me if I'm wrong. I don't like a coach going back to another player who was here for a little while, had a great impact on the organization. J.J. Redick did, certainly. And then he is now comparing the guys on his roster now to that player that's no longer here. Like, I always think you want to let your player be their own guy. Don't describe them, but don't go with a comparison. I feel like that's always a bad route to take, because that player, it loves being the individual. They love being themselves, not being on a pedestal to a guy like J.J. Redick. Like, if I'm Furkan Korkmaz, I'd rather just develop my own game and not worry about anybody else.
Unless, like, J.J. Redick is his idol or something like that, and Brett's feeding onto it and being like, yeah, he's becoming J.J. Redick.
Well, do you think Tobias Harris is, do you think his idol is J.J. Redick?
No, I don't think so there, no.
It's a weird thing.
It is. He can't get, J.J. Redick's all up in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't let it go.
Do you think there's any chance he actually comes back to Philadelphia? $26 million on his deal.
I think it's really, how are you going to match salaries?
Yeah, New Orleans would have to eat almost all of it.
Yeah, I forget where I saw it, but yeah, that was being talked about. Another rumor that came up there.
I would take him as a bench piece if New Orleans if they were paying his contract.
See, that's the thing. $26 million over 2 years?
Yeah, no thanks.
A bench piece?
There's a reason he's gone, and it's $26 million over 2 years.
One of the other things that came up in conversation was Al Horford coming off the bench for $109 million.
Yeah, I had that conversation with some cousins and some other people this weekend.
Your circle.
Yeah, my circle.
I like how we run everything by our cousins. But it was just a weird thing that happened over the weekend. But on top of that, from just something that rubbed me the wrong way, the bottom line is that the play was phenomenal from Furkan Korkmaz.
Yeah.
The guy that we want to see grow. And I compared him last week to Landry Shamet. Landry Shamet came out in his rookie year. You saw him get comfortable from three, started to hit that with more regularity. And then once guys started coming out to guard him, realizing he would make it, he wasn't afraid to put the ball on the floor, go to the basket, and slash a little bit, which was nice. I also made the decree last week that I did not want to see Furkan Korkmaz dribble a basketball anymore. Well, he dribbled a basketball a couple of times over the weekend. It worked out, so good for him. Still not the rule for him, but certainly it was a nice exception.
No, and when the Sixers got him and they put him down in the G League, I was saying this to Jamie before that, you know, when they put him down there, I asked Brett, I said, what are you looking from the guy? He goes, I need him to handle the ball. I need him to learn how to handle the ball. And I'm like, he's a 6'7" shooter? Why? He said, because he becomes a better 6'7" shooter when he learns how to handle the ball a little bit. You know, when teams respect him a little bit to go off the dribble, you can't run at him as fast. And he's shown a little bit of that. Like you said, Mark, we've seen the drives in the lane where there's a fake pass here and a little bit of a finger roll. There's been, you know, most of the times he's a really good pump fake. He has a really good pump fake, and he'll get by defenders. And when he looks like he could dribble lane, a lot of times he'll just take that one dribble and get his feet set at 3-point and shoot. But he's not afraid to dribble to the lane and do a little something. And that's what they wanted him to work on. He does it every once in a while, and it makes it effective.
Yeah, it certainly seemed like he was coming along, getting more and more confident. He still is at his best, can we agree, in the catch and release type of basketball?
Sure.
I mean, that's where he's at his best.
Except when it's a bad shot. Because you saw one on Saturday night.
Oh, it was forced, yeah.
Yeah, like Ben kicked it out like 3 seconds into the shot clock, and Furkan just shot it with a guy in his face and on him.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bad shot. And I went, all right, Furkan, use some discretion here.
How about these numbers from the weekend? On Friday night, 30 assists on 40 made field goals.
Wow.
Saturday night, 26 assists on 34 made field goals. That's tremendous. That's 76% of your field goals made are being assisted on.
Moving the basketball.
Yeah. And you wonder, wow, without that big guy there, is it better movement of the ball? Now, I won't say the offense is better. They only scored 90, and I'm never going to say take away Joel Embiid and anything is better.
Uh-huh.
It's not. But we are seeing a more aggressive Ben Simmons scoring and kicking, and he's doing it very, very well right now.
And by the way, I just got texted an answer to your question.
What's about that?
The high five under the basket.
Uh-huh.
My good family friend, Lauren Gordon, who you guys have met, she's been in studio a bit once. She said he high-fived Alan Dershowitz, or Horowitz, excuse me. Alan Dershowitz. Horowitz, the Sixers sixth man, the... you know, the guy you see.
No, you lost me.
Yeah.
No, there's no... Yeah. Really, just...
Alan Horowitz.
Dershowitz just hanging out. Really.
But yeah, that's who he high-fives.
You think he'd be busy right now.
Alan Horowitz, I did not see under the bat. I was looking.
Yeah.
All right, good. That's great.
So that's the answer.
So, love that man.
Not Dershowitz.
We're going to circle back to that one later in the program. Just to have some funsies with it.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. But on top of all the other, the BS, the stuff on the side, whatever. Loved seeing the Sixers be able to pull out the victories. I don't want them struggling against a New York Knicks team that does not have Ja Morant. And I hate to be this particular, but you got to be, because as we always say, Bob, what? It's not about beating the Knicks. It's about being good enough to win in the playoffs. And that team that played, granted, is without Joel Embiid, and it's been without Joel Embiid for the last several games now. It's not about beating the Knicks. It's not about beating the Bulls. It's about measuring them against playoff contenders. That's really what it's about. And Bulls, they pulled it out. Good. Knicks, they struggled for 3.5 quarters. They never really took control of a basketball game that they should have had control of throughout, and that never happened. For whatever reason, they were not able to get on the same page. The Knicks were coming out, and they were shooting pretty well. They were keeping pace with the Sixers throughout that game. Sixers never really stepped on their throat, so to speak, until the end of that game when Tobias Harris hit that three.
Yeah, and you hate to come away from Sixers games, but I find myself doing this more than not doing it with, okay, they won, but... But Saturday night, you go into the game, and to me, back-to-backs, the second half, I don't care how you win it, who you're playing, whatever, you're just looking for a win. Because second of back-to-backs are tough, no matter, you know, what the circumstance is. But, I still came away with the but. God, that's a horrible Knicks team. That's a horrible Knicks team. And I'm sorry, you still have Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, Al Horford. You still have really good players on your team. That should be an easy win.
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't for them. No. It was something they really had to struggle to win, as we know. But you mentioned something earlier.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.